The Illusion of Choice, A Life Lived on Autopilot, Epilogue, The Alliance of Fate, A Journey Beyond Destiny. As the chapter opens, Scott muses to himself about Quantum Quinn's insights regarding Alejandra's impending death within the next few years. Quinn's words kept circling in my head as I left the lab. We had won the fight, yes. Nitty the Tyrant had been defeated. His twisted control of minds, his manipulation of free will, all gained thanks to the knowledge he'd drawn from Atlantis's mystery school. But even in victory, Quantum Quinn had shaken me to the core. There was the soft, distant sound of a door closing behind Scott, ambient sounds of the city streets growing louder, footsteps echoing softly. Quantum Quinn. He told me Alejandra would die within 5 years. Not just a possibility, a certainty. And he said there was nothing I could do about it. And yet he also told me that somehow I could choose to be with her. There is a brief silence as Scott walks along, the sound of his footsteps echoing. How could this be? How could I have a choice if everything's already set in stone? If predestination is in fact real, if our paths are written, then what does it even mean to choose anything? And yet perhaps those physicists in Helsinki, the ones who briefly altered the timeline, who interfered with predestination and quantum erasure, maybe they could change things. Perhaps there's still hope. The sound of city streets fades slightly, giving way to quieter, more introspective ambiance as Scott's pace slows. I don't know what Quinn's game is, or if I even understand what's at play here, but one thing's for sure, I have to see her. I have to see Alejandra. Not to plead for her love, no, but to see if together we can rewrite the future Quinn claimed was inevitable. Could we save her life? Could we extend it beyond those 5 years? Even if we were apart, and even if she was just a memory. There is the sound of Scott pulling out his phone, the faint tap of keys as he types a message. I sent her a message. Let's meet at the cafe. We need to talk. Scott arrives first. Alejandra shows up not long thereafter, and the tension between them is thick as they're seated, both of them sitting in silence before Scott finally begins to talk. He leans forward, his tone intense. I'll give you the skinny on it, and it's not easy. Quinn says you'll be dead in 5 years. The only choice we have is will we spend the time together or apart? And he says there's no way to change your destiny. But I say if we can make a choice about being together, there's a chance that we can make choices to alter that timeline based upon what those Helsinki scientists were able to accomplish. Alejandra, we need to work together. There's no time to waste. And Alejandra, cold, crossing her arms, says, is this just an excuse to try and fix things between us, Scott? Because we're not going to be together. It's not like that. We can work as colleagues, but that's it. And I would hope that you're not using the threat of my impending death and making up a hoax just to bring us together. And Scott, desperate but trying to stay calm, says, this isn't about that, Alejandra. His voice is loud enough to draw stares from neighboring tables. But he continues. Quinn showed me something. Something I can't ignore. And we have to stop him, Alejandra. We have to stop destiny and fate. Alejandra raises an eyebrow. We have to stop fate? You sound like Quinn or that damned AI of his. What makes you think you can stop anything? And Scott, lowering his voice, says, because they're one and the same, Quinn and destiny. He showed me your funeral. He's the one who told me you have 5 years to go, and he's just sitting back and watching it happen. You saw the way he spoke about the fight, both before and afterwards. He knew the outcome. He didn't even need us. And the AI, he told to take a back seat and sit on the bench. Why would you do that against one of the most dangerous entities in the universe, even if he is crippled? Scott describes certain particular details that he saw at this vision of the funeral. Alejandra is stunned and stares at him. How would you know these things, Scott? There's something very private. My family, in my will. But you knew the details. So either you're psychic, or somehow you got a copy of my will, or you really saw my future in my funeral. There's no other explanation. Scott interrupts. Quinn isn't even doing anything. He's the one pulling the strings. Quinn is destiny. Destiny is Quinn. But we can fight this. If, in fact, those Helsinki scientists were successful, we have to fight it. Alejandra is no longer aloof or cold. Her voice trembles.
How do you propose we fight fate itself, Scott? 5 years isn't the longest time in the world. I mean, it's better than 1 year, but 5 years, if everything is predetermined, if Quinn is that powerful, what's the point of even trying? Maybe I should just try to live my best life.
And Scott, suddenly focused and resolute, says, there's one person who came close to Quinn's level. That person threatened him. Quinn was ready to pull out all the stops. Quinn's probably the one who tried to blow up your building, to push you in his direction, making you think that it was Nitti who was doing it. He feared Nitti, and he assembled us on his team, along with the Guardian AI, to fight Nitti. Nitti almost broke free from all of this. He's the key to overcoming Quinn and destiny. And Alejandra says, incredulous, Nitti? The corporate sponsor we fought to stop? Now you think he's the savior, the answer? Scott nods, determined. That project we were working on might have been more powerful than we ever thought, and Nitti wanted us on his side to beat Quinn. I'm not saying that he's an angel, but he was seeking our help all along, and it might have been for a decent reason. We just didn't see it. Alejandra leans in.
What now? We turn to Nitti? We work with the enemy?
And Scott leans back and smiles grimly. Well, we don't have a choice. Nitty's burned out, but he's still the only one who came close to breaking free, and he might be our best shot at stopping Quinn and fate itself. And Alejandra sighs, nodding slowly. I never thought I'd say this, but fine. Where do we start? And Scott smirks. Well, we're in uncharted waters. But the first step is simple. We get to Nitti before Quinn finds out what we're planning. After that, we take on fate itself.
The cafe ambience fades. The two sit in a tense silence,
their expressions determined as they face the uncertain path that lies ahead. The robotics lab is quiet, sterile. Scott and Alejandra walk through the murky corridors past machines whirring softly in the background. They've taken a leave of absence. It's their first time back at the lab in quite some time. In fact, both had contemplated never returning. The two reach Nitti's office, where the once arrogant executive sits, now with a different air about him, calm, reflective. And Nitti, smiling, faintly gestures to the seats in his office.
You've come a long way. I wasn't sure I'd see you again.
And Scott, hesitant but curious, says,
we reached out to you, and you agreed to see us. Why?
Nitti leans back, eyes thoughtful.
Because it's time we stop pretending to be on opposite sides. Destiny, it's not what I once thought it was. I spent so long trying to control everything. But I now see it's not about control. It's about breaking free from it. And we can do that together.
Nitti still cuts an imposing figure. Handsome, with hair slicked back in signature style. His suit is stylish, but looser now, more relaxed, like the man himself. The smirk that once defined him is mostly gone, leaving only the faintest trace around his lips, a shadow of the arrogance he once carried. And his voice is more subdued, more serious, more adult-like. And Alejandra says skeptically,
you expect us to trust you after everything you did? What makes you different now?
And Nitti, with humility, says,
I was wrong. I wanted power over destiny, But now I realize destiny's the real enemy. It's not about controlling minds. It's about liberating them, about ensuring that humanity doesn't become enslaved by what's already written in the stars.
Scott eyes him narrowly.
And how would you do that, even? And Nitty smiles again, but this time a little wistful. To rewrite fate, we have to go back. Back to where it all began for me, where I first learned how to bend the forces of the universe, even before computers and before AI. And Alejandra frowns, where's that?
And Nitty, with a low voice, nearly reverent, says,
the mystery school in Atlantis. Not the city that Plato wrote about, but the one that really sank.
But a colony survived that's hidden, out of time and space, and if we can find it, we might find the key to controlling destiny without becoming its slaves.
Scott leans forward, intrigued.
And you think we can find this colony of Atlantis? We can find Atlantis, what's left of it. And Nitty, with quiet determination, says, I know we can. I've had glimpses of it. And when we do, we'll have the power to shape the future, not just for ourselves, but for all of humanity.
There's a charged silence between them. Scott and Alejandra exchange glances, unsure, but drawn in by the possibility of something greater than they imagined, and also by the glint and the glimmer of hope. And Nitty stands, offering his hand.
What do you say? One last adventure, this time for the right reasons?
Scott and Alejandra hesitate for a beat, then Scott takes his hand.
Nitty, we're in.
Alejandra nods slightly, and the three of them stand together, ready to face destiny, Quinn, and the unknown.